Very Bible's world of the book of Jude, and we continue our look-see in this this book here. It's just the background to it, as Brother Pittman had brought out, so much as it is in the, so much that as it is in the scriptures about in the New Testament, different things that are written therein and different things that are referenced to in the Old Testament, they must be known and must be understood so you, we can get the point. And that is the case. This little book, one chapter, some 25 verses, is chock full of different doctrine and different an outline of such. The brother here is going to make a comparison once again to the believing, between the believing and the unbelieving. And so we're going to come down here and deal with verse number 5 this afternoon. Let's read. Verse number 1 of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith in Christ, the faith of Christ, and all of it, everything about everything, it's all centered on Him. And we need the Lord in every whit and every way. For there are certain men which crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, which we've looked at, turning the grace, the good favor and blessing of our God into lasciviousness, and thereby denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I added a few words in there just to, that we might understand and understand that emphasis, the emphasis there of how the brother is writing. Verse number 5, the subject of that he is and what he's speaking to us about, what the Lord's speaking to us about. There's a turning. There is a turning at hand. I will therefore, verse number 5, put you in remembrance. Okay, so here is how... there's going to be some examples. There's going to be some contrasts here that tell about this that he's spoken and reinforce it. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, verse number 5, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Faith or no faith? Believing or unbelieving? The dividing line or the division that we talked about and looked in the scriptures about this morning. What Brother Mark referred to about those that will scoff and will mock in the last days, even though it's evident and very plain what the Lord has done, what He's told us about what He's done and what He's promised in His Word. There are those who believe and there are those who do not believe. And for the unbelieving, there is certain destruction. And so here, verse number 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, this reference to the children of Israel, I invite you to turn your Bibles over here to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, and we're going to take a look here in verse number, or chapter number 13, but you know the account. The Lord called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, worked in their lives, gave Jacob 12 sons. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brethren, a terrible thing, a wicked thing that was done. But yet again, God's not thwarted by our sin, is He? He took Joseph and He used him. Used him to be a deliverer for Jacob's house, for Israel's house. And so in that, 70 souls went down into Egypt, didn't they? Abraham had been to Egypt, Isaac had been to Egypt, and now here Jacob is going into Egypt. They're there, and they're there in Egypt for hundreds of years. And then there comes a time that through Moses, the Lord's man, He calls him, at 80 years old, two-thirds through his life being on this side. We can know that. But at 80 years old, calls him to deliver his people out of the land of Egypt. And oh, what a deliverance. You remember the plagues? All for Israel's sake. You remember the destruction of Egypt? All for Israel's sake. You remember Egypt was wrecked financially, that they said, take the stuff and just leave. All for Israel's sake. What a deliverance. They go over and they go away to the Red Sea. Not the Reed Sea, but the Red Sea. They're blocked in on two sides by hills and mountains. They're blocked in by the Red Sea that had depth. And they couldn't cross there, and then they've got the Egyptians behind them. But the Lord protects them, doesn't he? This pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud during the day, as they will soon see. And the Lord made it to where the Egyptians were just right over there, but they couldn't see Israel. And Israel couldn't see them. And then the Lord tells Moses to go through the Red Sea and part that water. And the Lord parts that water indeed. And they go over in ankle-deep water. Dry ground, the scripture says. Do we believe the Lord? No, it would be, it's not really physically possible for it to be dry. If God says it was dry, it's dry. You can trust the Lord for it being dry if he said it was dry, just like you can trust him to save your soul. Just like you and I here being saved and having the Lord as our Savior and been redeemed by Him, we trust Him to keep us, don't we? I won't be kept if He doesn't keep me. I'm trusting Him to do that. It's all about the Lord. He says dry, it's dry. And it's not, well, maybe it was the Reed Sea and it was very shallow. It was the Red Sea. And they went over on dry ground and the Lord destroyed the Egyptians that pursued after them. And then the Lord's provision for them and the Lord giving them the law. And then they have that freedom and Moses is gone for longer than what they thought. They needed to exercise patience and they're found playing. Aaron makes the golden calf. All that mess. And the Lord, he forgives them, doesn't he? And he's long-suffering with them. And then he takes that first group that came out of Egypt and he says, let's go into the land. Time to go into the land. And we come to this account here in Numbers chapter 13. Remember, I'm going to refer to this as we go along, that we might remember what Brother Jude wrote here. Having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Faith or not faith? Believing the Lord or not believing the Lord? Here in Numbers chapter 13, we see in verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. They're listed here, aren't they? And we of notable men that are here, we see going down through here, we see the tribe of Simeon, of Judah, and of Issachar, and Ephraim, of Benjamin, right? Zebulun, the tribe of Joseph, okay, or namely Manasseh, the tribe of Dan, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Naphtali, you know, the tribe of Gad. And I missed the guys I was looking for. Forgive me. Wow, you get here and Caleb, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, right? And then we know another fella that's listed here, and his name is different, but his name is Joshua, okay? And we've got to look for his dad. Nun, of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, okay? That's Joshua. Okay? We would do well to underline those guys. And so here they are, 12 men that go out. You know the account. They sent them out, verse number 16. And these are the names of the men that which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, or ultimately the scripture is going to refer to him as Joshua. And so he sent them, and they went. And you know, I trust you know the account, and you've read it and seen about it. See if they be strong or weak, or few or many. And verse 19, it says, what the land is to dwell in, whether it be good or bad, the cities and all that stuff. They went up, verse number 21, searched the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, and they came to Hamath. They went to these different places and such as that. And they came, verse number 23, to the brook of Eshcol, cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it up between two upon a staff. Now that's some grapes, isn't it? And you, man, you could get some good grape eating and some raisins. I'll make you hungry here after lunch. And some grape juice and some jam and jelly. And boy, I tell you what, those weren't them sour grapes that we get sometimes. Those were good grapes, weren't they? A cluster that two men had to carry on a pole. Didn't the Lord tell them that this was a good land he was taking them to? And once again, he made good on the promise, didn't he? And so they bear it on the staff. They brought pomegranates and figs. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. There's another 40, reference to 40. I think Brother Doug mentioned recently about the numbers in the scripture. We've got to be careful with the numbers, but there are parallels and interesting things there for sure. And so they went and came to Moses and Aaron and the congregation of the children of Israel, verse 26, and into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Sounds good. Just what God said. Let's go. Oh. God kept everything he said he was going to keep up to this point, didn't he? Hadn't he kept it? He kept it. And they went and checked out the land, and it was so. Nevertheless, verse 28, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the significance of that is because they're very big and very tall. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelt by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Not sounding too good, is it? And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. They're going, not that. Not those big people. Not all that bunch of people. Not all that bunch of mighty people. Say it isn't so. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Oh yeah, it's a really good land, but they're too big for us. You know, we don't need to rail on them. We need to learn. They had it right in front of them, all that God had done for them. When did they ever lift up one sword to one Egyptian? Yet that whole army was destroyed. When did they ever, in a sense, if you will, at this point, when did they ever have to even protect themselves? They hadn't. The Lord took care of them. Did they ever have any need that the Lord didn't fulfill and give them? Was it not the Lord that said, go take the land? I mean, why are they here at this place? Because the Lord told Moses, load up and go. Because the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud got up and went to there. But no, we can't do this. Well, who was it that had been doing anything from the onset? Had it not been the Lord? They are the sheep. We are the sheep. And we're to follow the Lord in what He says. Caleb said, let's go. The Lord's with us. But the other 10, not Joshua, but the other 10, they said, no, it can't be. The congregation, chapter 14, lifts up their voice and they weep. It says in verse number 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Remember what I told you about the message that the brother preached at that conference here a while back that we went to? He says about being suspicious against God. They have any call to be suspicious? God's like saying, okay, I'm going to do this for you and give you this, but then He's going to like bust them or whack them in the middle of it. Does God do that? No, He doesn't do that. He said, go. Caleb, Joshua, they agreed to it. Let's go. God said to go. We'll be able to defeat them. We'll be able to take it. The Lord's given it to us. He said as much. And it comes back to His word, doesn't it? And here they are, they're suspicious of the Lord. He's brought us out here to kill us. I don't believe what the Lord says. May God help us that we believe what the Lord says. And so it goes on, and it says here, they said in verse 4, let's make a captain, let's go back to Egypt. Like that's home. Then Moses and Aaron, verse 5, fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now, again, I preached a message some time ago about yielding to pressure and such as that, about peer pressure and such as that. Joshua and Caleb are standing up against not 10 men, not 100 men, not 1,000 men, but standing up and telling the truth amongst hundreds of thousands of people. You know, you and I have, as the Lord's people, as the Lord's children, we've got a decision to make. I mean, I don't know how else to say it other than this. Are we going to die obeying the Lord, or are we going to die disobeying the Lord? Mark it down. Say the Lord gives something for me to pursue and to do that costs me my life. Or say I can run from the Lord and be disobedient and it costs me my life. What's the better way to go? Obeying. Now, the Lord had told him he was going to give him the land. But what if Joshua and Caleb, if they would have pursued the land and it would have cost Joshua and Caleb their lives, I don't believe it would have, but if it would have cost, would it have been not better to go obeying the Lord? See, we're going to pay. In a sense, if you will, from this side of life and in on this human side of life, we're going to pay one way or another. Why not pay and be found in obeying? He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Huh? Right? Okay, from the fleshly side of life, from the human side of life, maybe it just goes ahead and costs us. But wouldn't it be better to be obedient to the Lord? You know, we face that. We face that in the church at different times and different things that we've dealt with and such as that. We can obey the Lord and weather the storm and take that cost. Or we can bail out and disobey the Lord and then take the cost of what that's going to bring. It's going to cost us. But where's our eye? Which side of the division, which side of the dividing line are we going to be found on? You hear what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be better to just go ahead and go out obeying the Lord? Is the Lord faithful? Indeed He is. Okay, and so the Lord is provoked here. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? Hear that? How long will it be that they'll really believe me and not be suspicious of me and not thinking that I'm bringing them out here to destroy them and not thinking that I'm bringing them out here for some evil thing to do to them? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, and thou brought us up this people in thy might and from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among the people. And so Moses intercedes for the people, and he loves them indeed, doesn't he? We're not going to spend time on that. But it goes on down here in verse number 19. Moses says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even till now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. The Lord answers Moses, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. There it comes down to the word of the Lord again, doesn't it? What the Lord said. Will I believe it, or will I not believe it? Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto we went. He went, and his seed shall possess it. And so then the Lord goes ahead and says here in verse 26, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long will I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me and have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me? Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Whoa. And do you remember and understand that if these two men and only those 20 or 19 or 20 and under, they're the only ones that really went in? Moses didn't go in. And not that he was of this number that doubted, but because of yet another thing, he didn't go in. Miriam didn't go in. Aaron didn't go in. And how many hundreds of thousands did not go in? Oh, they were great in number. They were joined hand in hand, if you understand what I'm saying. The scripture says, though hand join hand, the Lord is not going to be thwarted. And they didn't go in. They wandered around for a year, for every day of doubt that those spies brought back that evil report. Are we going to believe what the Lord says in His Word? Or are we going to blow it off and say, no, that doesn't apply. That doesn't apply to me. That doesn't apply to us. In verse number 31, but your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, oh, we can't go in amongst those big people because they'll kill our children. Them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. Wow. Jude writes, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. They didn't believe. And so it goes on. We see here in the latter part of this chapter. Let's read this because it bears us to see it. In chapter 14, verse number 6, there was a long reckoning of the Lord for disbelief of His Word by the entire congregation. There's long-term effects to you and I not believing what the Lord says in His Word, and then there can be short-term effects too. Listen to this. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. It didn't take them 40 years to die. Can you imagine that? 12 men set out, one of every tribe, and you're there giving an account and telling about what it was. Two men giving a favorable account and saying, the Lord has given us this, let's go. And they stand against those 10, but the congregation is tempted and believes the witness of those 10. And then in very short time, those 10 men die right there. Wouldn't it be better to go out obeying than disobeying? The plague. This plague that's talking about, I don't believe this is talking about they died over the course of that 40 years. I think they died then. They died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the hill, search the land, lived still. Destroyed. The Lord destroyed them that believed not. And of course, then they tried to go in the power of their own might and wouldn't take the punishment of the Lord. You know, when the Lord chastises us as His children, we just need to take it. Once the Lord, with them, the Lord said, it's done. You're not going in. And then they tried to go ahead and go in, and they were sorely defeated, weren't they? When the Lord brings chastisement upon us, we do need to obey, but we just need to take it, knowing that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. And we need to repent of that which we need to repent of, and we need to submit and obey to the Lord, rather than trying to change it yet again. See, it's an attitude and a heart of willfulness and stiff-neckedness, isn't it? The Lord said go, and they said no. And the Lord said you're going to pay for it, and they said, okay, we'll go ahead and go. It's too late. They had provoked the Lord so. And He said, this is the way it's going to be now. And they said, no, we don't want that. We don't want that. So we'll see, we never want the ramifications of disobeying the Lord. But when they do come upon us, we do well to repent and then bear up underneath of it and then go on forward with what the Lord's given. Hear that? The Lord said go. They said no. The Lord said this is what it's going to cost you. And they said, well, we'll go ahead and go. We don't like those terms. And they said, no, too late. Can't do that. Because the Lord's not going to turn back. The Lord is merciful. He was merciful in allowing their children to go. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, hear Moses preaching to the children of Israel before their children go into the land. And we see here just a point here that we just want to make reference to. Verse number 31 in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that we went until we came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tents in, in fire by night to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. It was better to wholly follow the Lord, wasn't it? Also, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, Moses speaks, saying, thou shalt not go in hither. Moses had a time where he got fed up with the rebellion of the people. And he lost his cool. And it cost him too. Because why? He didn't listen to what God said. God said, speak to the rock. And Moses, being wroth with the people and angry with the people, and then took upon himself the attitude that of God using him to be a minister and a worker of great signs, of great wonders amongst the people. If you remember, he said, shall we fetch water for you out of this rock, you sinners and you rebels? And he struck the rock, and water didn't come out. And he struck the rock again, and the Lord went ahead and made water come out. But Moses didn't get to go into the land because of his not listening to the Lord. Also, the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in hither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit. Moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. And our brother Jude writes, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. In Hebrews, quickly, and we don't have the time to do this justice, but we'll just walk through it. In Hebrews chapter 3, the Lord and the Scriptures speak of this same thing. And we'll look at this quickly, and then we'll close. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 18. The apostle writes, and we'll pick it up here in Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hebrews 3, 12, verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is yet called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, and if you will, don't want to listen to what your Lord says, what your God says. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Will we be faithful to the Lord to the end? The saints will persevere. The saints will have faith in the Christ that saved them unto the end. Oh, we may have failings and we may have stumblings, but those that persevere will repent of the Lord and ask the Lord for help and strength, and they will continue on with the Lord, say it, rather than saying, no, it's not worth it. No, I just want to give up and quit. No, it's just not. It's just too hard. Well, it was hard for the Lord to do what he did for us, wasn't it? And we should take help and encouragement in that. While it is said, verse 15, today, what? If you will hear his voice. And what comes from a voice? Words. Words of promise. Wonderful words of life. Words of, as the song goes, life and beauty, right? They teach us things. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, when the children of Israel said, no, God said that, but no, I don't receive it. No, I don't accept it. No, I will not follow it. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not them that had sinned? Was it not with them? Let's back up. Verse 16, I'm sorry. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses provoked. You know, it was very few that didn't provoke, wasn't it? Very few. A couple men, 20 plus, against hundreds of thousands that were 20 plus, maybe millions. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? The Lord, who was the Lord grieved with for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness that manifested it? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not, who didn't enter into the rest of Canaan? Those that didn't believe. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief. Unbelief of the word of God. Verse chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Will we believe the Lord and follow him and obey him? Hear him speaking to us? Hear him speaking? Hear the words of his voice? For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. In a nutshell or in summary, we who are saved by the Lord Jesus, we have a rest in him, a rest in salvation. You know, and it's by faith in what he said he's done, not what we've done. I really believe that Jesus paid for my sins on Calvary's tree. Don't you? If you don't, then you don't have salvation in Christ. But I believe he died for me that day. He was thinking about me, this old wicked sinner. He did. And we've got to rest in that. Jesus took care of it. I don't see how. You know, from the human standpoint, I don't see how it would be possible to accomplish it. But he did, and I know that he did because he did it. You see that? For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day of this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. The Lord, there's a rest in the Lord, and there's a rest in salvation. And in the example that we have, the Lord is indeed rest. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, there was a rest coming for the children of Israel. You know what? You and I have a rest as the children of the Lord. We have a rest in obedience and service. You know what? Caleb and Joshua rested. When they came back and they gave the report, they had no guilt, no doubt, no controversy. They had peace with their Lord, didn't they? They rested. I've done. Oh, they had trouble against their brethren, the other 10, and even the hundreds of thousands that were there in the camp that stood against them, said, no, it'll cost us our children, it'll cost us our lives. We just soon go back to Egypt. And they said, no, the Lord said what he said. We can do it. We can take it because the Lord's with us. He's promised it. And they had rest with the Lord. They didn't have peace with their brethren, but they had peace with the Lord, didn't they? Rest. There's a rest coming. There's a rest in life. We can have rest in the Lord as we go and walk and are obedient to the Lord. Rest. Rest. Verse number 5, and in this place, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in. Why? Because of unbelief. We won't have the rest of the Lord unless we believe him. And again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts to his word. We harden our hearts to the word of God, we will not have rest. But if we obey, there's rest in the Lord. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Therefore, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. You know what? We've got a rest in eternity. We've got a rest in salvation. A rest in service and obedience, and then there's a rest in eternity. You know, and that of the children of Israel going into Canaan represents those things. It shows that. And where is our rest? In and walking with the Lord, being saved by Him and walking with Him in this life. We can have rest right now, rest in salvation, rest in service right now, and then we look forward to that eternal rest with our Lord, don't we? When we go to be with Him in that land that He has prepared for His people. Amen. May we believe Him. May we rest in Him. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, verse 9. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. That's speaking about rest in this life. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Keep on keeping on till the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Praying, repenting, walking with our Lord, walking closer with our Lord and resting with Him. And then it goes on here. Understand this, this rest, this blessing, this unbelief or this belief, it's all tied to what? Again, it's back to the Word of God. This is where this hallmark passage is in Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick, it's alive. It's lively, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It reveals our motive. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Listen and obey your Lord. Listen to and obey your God, our Savior, our Lord and Savior. Let us hear Him and believe Him. Sinner, that you're here without Christ as your Savior, hear the word of the Lord. There's rest in Christ. You can be forgiven of your sins. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession of faith in Christ. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows what we go through. And you know what? We can go to Him and He will sympathize. He knows what it feels like. Everything you and I go through, Jesus knows what it feels like. And He can help you. And He can comfort you. He can put His arm around you and say, I know what that's like. And He can help. May we hear Him and believe Him and trust Him in what He says. We've not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow, and that opens up the door and a fine segue into that of prayer.